You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
Terrorism. February 20th at 12:31 p.m. Eastern Time.
Black metal, as we understand it, created and perform it, is the purest and most distilled manifestation of Satanism possible within the genre of metal music. This soul of black metal as a genre exists, however, in a historical and musical context, wending its various iterations, the tradition of a particular atmosphere and musical ethos. Therefore, in order to present a convincing performance when we play live, Terrorism and other sincere practicing bands in this genre must create an atmosphere of, if not true believers, then sympathetic participants in the audience. Through our history, we have tried, whenever possible, to book and accept, when invited, shows where the lineup consisted only of other sincere bands, preferably of the same rarefied genre whose contribution to the music was being made seriously and in good faith. In fact, we don't even like booking shows with death metal bands, even though several members of Terrorism, myself included, have been or are currently in bands of that genre. We've tried playing shows with eclectic lineups. They seldom pay off. A sympathetic audience is everything. It is the difference between experiencing a moment of profound and terrifying conviction of the presence of a real diabolic power and a bunch of drunk frat boys laughing at guys in Halloween costumes and raccoon makeup. We have had to endure fist fights over exactly this kind of difference while on the road during our storied history of touring as a battle-tested and serious black metal band that we have quite literally bled and suffered for the luxury of taking ourselves seriously when we perform live. So when I, who had been deactivated from social media for 2 months, do not book our shows, and do not follow our internet presence, was finally forwarded a flyer for the show and saw bands from genres that aren't even metal, and with the names like quote-unquote Neckbeard, Death Camp, I was livid. And I lobbied to get us off this fucking bill. With a name like that, there can be a little possibility that they are anything other than a joke band with no loyalty to, investment in, or even understanding of black metal and it's defined and practiced by us. I have no opinion for or against joke bands per se, but as I have just elaborated, this kind of fast and loose mixing of incompatible subgenres on a lineup is antithetical to creating and sustaining the particular atmosphere would need to pull off a convincing live performance. Few people would try and invite a comedian to do a bunch of toilet jokes as the eulogy at a funeral to expect us to attempt to ply our solemn craft following a satire band is equally unworkable. If I had known that the lineup was going to be this across the board, let alone with bands from not only incompatible, but outright hostile approaches, I would have never wanted to do the show in the first place. It's nothing personal. We tried it before. It's not worth it for us. I built a recording studio that was a massive altar dedicated to Satan. Not because I'm in it for the laughs, but because whether or not you think I am a fool for doing so, I take all out seriously. Perhaps we are just idiots that any of us believes any of this shit, but even so, we still do not owe 1 minute of our time wending the legitimacy of this band to a lineup of bands that not only don't take their own art seriously, but make what we do 10 times more difficult to pull off convincingly. After fielding a phone call from our vocalist the next afternoon, he informed me that there was a hurricane of flying gorilla shit breaking out on the internet all over this. As a result, I feel the necessity to point you all to the real culprit here. I am your man. If you want someone to hate, blame me. I was the one who was most colorfully and vociferously expressed doubts about doing yet another show with a bunch of unsympathetic bands from incompatible genres. To make matters even more absurd, I have since heard that this band are in fact Antifa Tourers. I can't speak to that rumor because I don't know. What I do know is, whether they have a partisan agenda underlying their twirling or not, I was just not interested in flying halfway across the country, donning full ritual garb, lighting candles and incense, and then attempting to convince an audience of strangers on the palpable presence of a terrifying spirit of cosmic evil indwelling the world. After waiting for the fake black metal scene's equivalent of Weird Al Yankovic to queer their rubber chickens off the stage. For those looking to use us as pawns in some cynical power game, you're playing because our decision is politically expedient to you. I'm afraid, sadly, you will have to go fuck yourself. This includes the white supremacists, who, I am informed, are currently on our Facebook page claiming that one cancellation is somehow a victory for the white race. It also includes the masked brick throwers among you who are using the same decision to hoist us on a petard as your bugaboo du jour with accusations that we are fascist sympathizers because we're not keen on being used as a prop in a stunt orchestrated by cynical actors with an agenda that has nothing to do with furthering the music itself. Furthermore, if I understand Wrath correctly, Wrath being a member of my band, a post made earlier by our drummer, Defiler, also a member of our band, probably his real name, is largely what has caused this storm of controversy. I haven't read that, but I've been given the general details from what it sounds like. He was probably being overzealous about our discussion to keep our shows deeply and securely within the purview of legitimate black metal, as has been our policy since pretty much the beginning, whenever possible, and it sounds like he added his own opinions to it. He has a right to have opinions. While the rest of it think it was pretty stupid post, sorry, man. And do not share many of these opinions. We will not be throwing him under a bus over one shitty post because a mob of repressed drama queens, none of whom have ever spent a dime supporting this band, are suddenly scandalized by the revelation that we would rather not play shows with comedy acts. Holy shit, it's like 9 more paragraphs.
Take a breath.
Oh my fucking god. I have also been just made aware of the accusation that we withdrew from the show because we were bowing to pressure from right-wing bullies. This is a funny one. As far as I'm concerned, we are the bullies.
Oh, I am for the sure, one man.
I am the one who knocks. And within the band, I am the one who exerted the lion's share of the pressure to get us off this bill, white or wrong, for reasons I've clearly enumerated. If cowardice is at the heart of this decision, would I be publicly taking responsibility for it? Think about it, Einstein, and then go fuck yourself.
However, I did not
intend for my private reservations to be conveyed to the public so nakedly and artlessly. So I apologize for that embarrassment to the degree that the band I named by name are not who I believe their name suggests they are. Namely, oh my fucking god, how many times is this guy gonna say the word name? Namely, a twirl parody band that mocks the very genre it claims to be contributing to. They are welcome to contact me personally through Terrorism's Facebook page. If they consistently show me that I misjudged them, I will, representing myself alone, happily and succinctly retract the accusation. This whole thing has already been enough of a distraction. So please, emphasis on the word succinctly. We're almost done. As long as we're not asked to attempt to pull off a legitimate black metal set on the same bill as these kinds of acts, I couldn't care less what music they play, what they call themselves, or what illusions they cling to in the voting booth. They have the freedom to do what they want. We have the freedom to refuse to be a pawn in someone else's. To our tiny cabal of friends and supporters around the world who have a dog in this fight, who ordered an album of ours from a legitimate distributor, or dropped a sawbuck catching us at a show or buying a t-shirt, I apologize to you for the needless drama. I have to say that I do stand by my very vocal, colorful, and emphatic decision to lobby the rest of the guys to demur, but I should have done it earlier. I dropped the ball, spoke far too late, and one member's personal opinions, which developed in part as a reaction to my own hyperbole, were rushed to press. To everyone else, piss off. You're only here because you're rubbernecking. You weren't fans before, and you won't ever be. We owe you nothing. Final wear. We may be fools for taking all out Cerberus wear, but we are not your fools. We won't be a prop in a political stunt, nor will we ever be a token of currency in somebody's cultural battles. Hail Satan, Gelé de Rose. Bassist, Territism. Finn.
How long was that? 20 fucking minutes?
Yeah, no, the show's over.
That's so
exhausting. Thanks for joining us, everybody. This was a great one. Thank you to the many folks online who sent this to us and asked that we do a dramatic reading. I took one look at this pile of text and said, Bruno, you're on this one.
I haven't been writing enough lately, so I'm just going to ruin my voice by doing nerd sounds for 36 paragraphs. This is like a novella. This is terrible. Like, who would sit and read all this, let alone say it out loud? Me. And now you had to hear it all because we had to read it all. And if you didn't understand half of it, well, even if you were to put eyes on it, you probably wouldn't have understood it either.
So I've never heard of Territism in my life, and I will never hear of them again after this, surely. Have you guys ever heard of them before?
Maybe. It's just like one of those generic band names where it's like might have come up somewhere. Someone might have said, hey, listen to this band, but it obviously doesn't stick out. But that's a whole lot of words to just say we're giant dorks and take ourselves too seriously.
Yeah, it's just some generic black metal band with like 4,000 Facebook likes. It's some nothing band. This long-winded diatribe about the glory of Satan or whatever the shit is the most attention they've ever received and will ever receive. All in reaction because they didn't want to be put on the same bill for some fucking out in the middle of goddamn nowhere South Dakotan metal fest as a Neckbeard Death Camp. I gotta say, Prosthetic has made the smartest decision they've made in years was putting Neckbeard Death Camp on their roster because they just cause calloused anuses everywhere they go.
It seems to be that way. I've never seen so many tryhards just like come out of the woodwork to embarrass themselves. But this one probably takes the cake. It's like the worst thing I've ever seen a black metal guy write on the internet. And that says a lot.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and put this in the pantheon of great online black metal meltdowns. It'll go alongside Recluse telling all their people that tried to listen to their music online that they're faggots among sheep and that they can't listen to their music. They're taking their ball and going home. Gosh, I don't know. I guess I would have to give the other one to something related to Noct Mystium and stealing from their fans.
Yeah. Just printing anybody on a shirt you don't like is probably the most alpha move I've ever seen. That was what was – I mean, remember when Mirkur was coming out? Mirky. Oh, my God. Yeah. It was really something seeing everybody online lose it like this. And I find it the most interesting that we don't get this kind of thing from, like – Europe as much as you'd think. This is all United States American dudes all the fucking time trying to prove that they're like Varg Vikernes incarnate.
It, maybe it's just like the USBM dudes think that they have something to prove compared to, you know, their counterparts in Europe that, you know, get to live the nice life with catered concerts and socialized healthcare.
Yeah, I guess being 4.5 minutes from any given McDonald's gives us some kind of a complex that we just have to get over. And so the edge is just, it's sharper than ever when you have an American guy trying to prove something online.
What do you think, Jordan? Is one of your bands ever going to put out a statement like this if you're put on a bill with a band you don't like?
No, what the normal thing would be to do is to just drop off the show. You don't need a giant statement. I say this all the time. It's free to do nothing, and yet people can't help themselves. They have to just write a novella. They couldn't just be like, oh, you know what? We're not going to play. But then it leads to the bigger question of, if this is such an issue that he makes it out to be, why play a festival in the first place? If you don't want to play with certain different sounding bands or bands that you may have a conflict with, don't play a festival.
That seems like a really good solution. Just never play. Stay home. But
maybe I'm putting too much thought into this for a band that has members named Murder and Wrath and Defiler.
Maybe. But like you said, they don't even play with death metal bands. They want to make sure that their audience is like strictly a black metal audience. And can you just imagine like a South Dakota black metal festival? Like, this show is going to be pretty fucking lame anyway. I mean, this guy could have come up with all the excuses in the world to just say, this isn't really worth it. Let's not play it. You know, regardless of his true intentions, he could have just been like, hey, guys, it's just, you know, we don't have the money to go to South Dakota. So we're sorry. We'll catch you next time. Didn't have to write this bullshit.
Folks that have been around for a long time remember us doing the hunt for the best unsigned band in the United States. And South Dakota, the two states that were most painful were South Dakota and Mississippi, and somehow South Dakota was even worse. Like, we couldn't find a single metal band from South Dakota. We ended up picking a group of juggalos.
The only one.
Peachberry Blunt Smoke or something?
Peachberry Blunts, yeah. Or God damn, let me try to find it. South Dakota Peach Blunt. Yeah, the best band in South Dakota is Peach Blunt Smoke.
Hell yeah.
Are they playing the festival?
They should.
Have they written some paragraphs? I want to read those.
Actually, I think the guy's name is Jelly Nuts Justoner.
I take that's somehow less ridiculous than calling yourself Murder.
I take that name just as seriously, I really do.
It's the same thing. Yeah, juggalism is just like the other side of the coin from black metalism. And one of those sides of the coin is more fun, so I'll take my... I'll side with that.
Yeah. So in closing, this dramatic reading, the gentleman here, they sent me a video of Fat Ninja, the kid who, like, did those sword displays a couple years ago where he's chopping up all the water bottles and is a very sizely gentleman. And they said, try to do his voice as best you can. And at first I thought he was like Daniel Tosh was talking to an Irishman, but really it's just this guy who was totally American, but his voice was just such high-pitched condensed nerd inside his massive body that it was something I really could not recreate, but I did my best.
It's impossible, because if you continue with that interview, he asks him about the accent. He's like, well, it's something that I have cultivated myself using several influences. I've studied the sword.
Yeah, and not the least of which being Milton from Office Space, and then also Murder from Terrorism.
It's like a vaguely English Stephen Root in The Office. You're totally right.
Oh, indubitable.
I do appreciate you do fat bees like nobody else, though. I love that.
Well, I'm a fat guy named Brendan, so I've
blew the black metal.
Blow metal.
Huh. Well, I think we can move on to this the rest of our life. And congratulations to Terrorism for getting probably more fans out of this than they're ever going to get. Because anybody who wants to disagree with Metal Sucks and Neckbeard Death Camp, it's a small chunk. It's a good slice. They'll get some Bandcamp buys now for sure. Good for them.
Oh, surely. Yeah, this just, you know, their most reactionary music genre exists in reaction. So they love that. Mm-hmm. Congrats, guys. Hey, it's the Toil of Hell radio show. We're only like 45 minutes in, but thanks for joining us. I'm Joe Thrash and Kill. With me, we've got Bueno Side and 365 Days of Horror, otherwise known as Jordan. What have you fellas been up to?
I'm moving. I'm currently surrounded by bins and boxes, and like I had the wherewithal not to pack up my microphone because I knew I had to give you guys a dramatic reading, but I'm moving very shortly.
Well, here's what I need you to do, and in case anybody else is considering doing a similar thing, why would you go do a foolish thing like moving? I don't know, but if you were to do that, go over to patreon.com and update your address so that I'm not sending shit to vacant houses.
Absolutely, will do.
So you got the place of your dreams, though, right?
So we have this very, very tiny apartment. It's like a shotgun hallway and then like two rooms, and that's pretty much it. The reason we got it was because it was very close to where my wife works in a downtown area, and she didn't have to have a car. She could just walk to work. She had since upgraded from that job. So now I've been driving her to work, and we only have the one space in our current location. It's just bad all around. So I've been on the hunt for a place where nobody lives above me, nobody lives below me, because nothing is worse than that shit in a town where people like to have fun and stay up whenever they want. So, yeah, I'm tired of getting woken up on Tuesday in the fucking morning at 3 and every other. I can't take it anymore. So we found a duplex, like a two family side by side. And this place is like bigger than anywhere we've ever lived before. I mean, her childhood home, certainly. My childhood home was a bit more on the suburban side, so it was two floors, fairly sized home, but I mean, certainly not on my own have I ever owned a place like this. So got like a private basement, four bedrooms, full-size eat-in kitchen, like a master bedroom. Place is just fucking awesome, and two full bathrooms. There's two fucking toilets and two baths in there.
The ultimate luxury.
So you can stink one up and it's not a problem for anyone else that's there.
That's right. I can like sneak home and vom downstairs before going upstairs to bed, so she's none the wiser. That's how I feel anyway.
Smart.
Have you met the neighbors?
Have I met the neighbors? I was told that they are two young ladies who read all the time.
Fucking nerds.
What? That's how I just took it at face value. That's probably what was true.
That's straight out of the used car salesman. A little old lady drove to church on Sundays.
Well, I guess they're two young ladies. So, I mean, I guess the big thing is the fact, even if they stay up late, even if they play music, because it's a side by side, you've got a big brick wall separating you. You can kind of just pick your bedroom strategically to be on the opposite side of the house. And I've lived in like townhouses before where nobody was above you, but people live kind of next to you in the same building. And I really never heard anything. So it's just it's a huge improvement if anyone ever wants to rent and they, you know, they can't afford their own place and they, you know, have a problem with noise. I would try to see if you can get set up with some sort of side by side two family situation. It's pretty legit.
Well, I have a single family home, you know, and the guy in the single family home next to me, the white supremacist, he constantly blasts Morrissey at all hours of the day and night. So, you know, I think it just depends on the luck of the draw. Hopefully the two ladies that you've got, hopefully you didn't move next door to Prussian Blue.
I'm more concerned if I'm going to be the problem, because one of the big things I wanted was a place to like practice guitar and maybe, I don't know, fuck it, play drums. I got a basement. I'll go play some drums, man. I'll be able to record a fucking shitty album in my basement like everybody else on Bandcamp.
You ever played drums before?
When I was 13 years old, I wanted to be popular, so I played drums. It didn't work.
I was going to say, that's a surefire way, man.
I thought it would. I really thought it would, but it turns out you have to be good at drums. I didn't get that part.
You going to get one of those, like, Roland V kits?
I guess so. How about you, Jordan? What you been up to, man? Enough about me.
Nothing as important as moving. One interesting thing they did last week, I went to a minor league hockey game. And if you've ever been to any minor league sports, there's always, they try to get like local groups to come in just so they could fill some of the seats, you know. your little minor league baseball team comes in, or like someone selling cars as their group come in, and maybe they say the Pledge of Allegiance, or maybe they toss out shirts. And we've talked about misplaced patriotism or weird acts of patriotism on the show before. At this game, during the national anthem, they had some local Taekwondo group perform. So people were singing the national anthem, and then there were people doing karate moves to the national anthem.
Hell
and
yes.
They, halfway through, they took out miniature American flags and were like chopping and kicking with them in their hands. It was very bizarre.
This is the only appropriate display of forced patriotism, is if you can do fucking jujitsu and break some boards all over the place.
If it's like South Korean martial arts, I mean, there's nothing more American than that. Just a white guy opening a dojo and being enforcing people to call him sensei.
Oh yeah, it's all Danny McBride in the foot fists way, like just like Rick's dojo telling people, get your leg up, get your leg up, son. I love it.
I heard there's really no qualifications someone has to have to open up one of these dojos for any given martial art.
Of course not. You grew up in the 90s as well. You remember when every fucking strip mall had a master sensei.
Yeah. I was a purple belt.
Oh, word.
Yeah.
Did you ever do the martial arts, Jordan?
I was a big fan of the Ninja Turtles, mm-hmm. and I like wanted to, but I think the only time they had lessons was a day I couldn't go, so it just never happened.
How did you progress in the Kumite? did you make it very far?
Oh, who, me?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if it was called Kumite. I think it was called... I want to say Sentai, but I think that's something a little different.
Tiger Shulman.
It's pronounced Hentai?
Yeah, no, it's pronounced Sentai. And what happened was... some 7-year-old girl challenged me to a fight in a ring. And so I just like picked up my walkie talkie that beeped and booped and called in my motorcycle. And then my grasshopper helmet, you know, fell from the heavens onto me. And I was able to kill her in a massive explosion.
I went to a karate class once because like everybody else, you know, I was immersed in the ninja culture of the late 80s and early 90s, and I believed, you know, with one class, I could probably launch a Hadouken. And instead, it was just like some bullshit stretching and like some running in place, and it was like, I never went back. Fuck that. Fuck you, Sensei Bob.
Well, that was the whole conspiracy, was it really was just a way to get parents to like, make their kids run around in a fucking circle and just put this cool, you know, veneer over it. Say that, oh, you're going to be a martial artist. You're going to be able to beat up all those bullies. But really, I'm just doing fucking jumping jacks for an hour.
It's a big, big grift, man. Big ninja.
No bullshit, man. Yeah.
Well, damn. One day we'll get dojos near us that actually teach you the things that kids need to know. Like, the five-finger death punch and how to launch a spear across the ring and pull your opponent closer to you so you can uppercut them into a pit of spikes.
Yeah, you just got to go fly somewhere halfway across the country, donning full ritual garb, lighting candles and incense, and then attempting to convince an audience of strangers in the palpable presence of a terrifying spirit of cosmic evil indwelling in the world.
And then quitting a festival in South Dakota.
Yeah.
Because people don't take you seriously.
Mm.
Has there ever been a black metal combination of ritualistic Satan and also martial arts? Because I think that's a pretty cool little niche to get into.
There is now.
I mean, there's the bad movie that Mystery Science Theater guys and Riff Track guys did, Miami Connection, where it's a rock band that also does ninja stuff on stage.
It sounds incredible.
There's room here. Like, yeah. not every slot has been filled. If you guys get creative, if you do some, you know, what is it called? Not obtuse thinking. What the fella that did Brian Eno, he has all those cards about thinking in different ways. That's what you got to do.
We will fill all those slots.
There was, I think, a Norwegian melodic death metal band that dressed up like samurais.
That's kind of cool.
It's something with a W. I can't remember. Not like Witherfall, maybe Withered, something like that.
Are you thinking of
definitely white guys playing, you know, almost in yellow face.
Well, it's like, I know Winter Sun comes out wearing like all kimonos and shit.
That's true. Yeah.
Or in their photos anyway.
Marty Friedman is all about the kimono life too. We're almost there.
Yeah. Whispered, that was the band name.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about now. Okay, so it's almost there, but we haven't connected the dots yet. Bands get out there, make us proud, fight in some obscure Kumite festival off the island of Borneo, kill Jean-Claude Van Damme's best friend, and make us proud.
I mean, there's really like nothing that would be more charming to me than like just white dudes appropriating like Asian instruments for like metal music. Like if you got some white dude on stage with like an Erhu or whatever.
Oh man, the farmer's market where I'm going to take my dogs in a few minutes. There's some just fucking, and I hesitate to use the word because it's so played out, but it's just hipster trash, like the 2008 ideal of what hipster trash is. Like
nice,
a pork pie hat and a wispy mustache and like an ironic t-shirt. This guy sits outside the farmer's market and plays one of those, like, God, I don't know what the name of the instrument is, the Chinese instrument. It's like ding 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 ding.
I mean, I'm just looking at like a page of Asian instruments because I couldn't think of the name of any of them, but it might be like a guqin, guxin.
Sounds good to me.
Guqin. It's like the lap guitar, but for,
yeah, that's it. Know. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Those things are cool. Those things are fucking tight. I want to play one of those.
Yeah, you can set up outside of your farmer's market and play it to disinterested families.
My new neighbors will just call and complain about my like sick Chinese music.
All the surly New Englanders will love it. Hey, kid, shut the fuck up.
I can't hear Tom Brady making the pass of his life.
Goddamn Robert Kraft is set up.
Oh my God.
Do you think Robert Kraft was hearing like some great guqin music while he was like getting a handy from some poor young lady in an Asian parlor?
Without question.
Okay.
Since we're here, can we go ahead and like just briefly touch on this?
No pun intended.
Okay, Robert Kraft.
I mean, I made it all the way over here. Can you... We talked about this kind of on the last episode, just, you know, being rich, powerful piece of shit. Robert Kraft, billions of dollars, you know, beloved by huge swaths of the country, has a really, really attractive young girlfriend. If he were in the market, if he wanted to hire a sex worker, there are limitless options for a man like that where you could hire a high-end sex worker to come to your house and do whatever weird shit that is you want with involving MAGA hats and pudding. But instead, he goes to a shady Asian massage place and solicits what is almost certainly some poor girl that's been sex trafficked. Because when people talk about like sex trafficking and sex work, that's kind of exactly what they're talking about. Somebody that's there in the country kind of desperately trying to pay whoever is in charge of them. It's real fucked up, man. And yeah, like, I'm wondering if that guy took that option because he's just such a piece of shit that he wanted to like make somebody so lesser than him like suffer.
There was an article that was published, I want to say a few months ago, about a lady who was kind of stuck in one of those rings, and she was describing her story, or it was about her, I think, because she eventually committed suicide. But it's like a horrible, horrible situation for those people. And it just goes to show like how fucked up some of these powerful guys are and like their deep psyche. Clearly he wanted to go get down and dirty somewhere, regardless of all of the money in the world.
Yikes, like, I'm not the like the wokest dude in the world, but I'm trying to like learn things about like sex workers and how, you know, their rights and how they exist in a society that deeply marginalizes and penalizes them. And I don't I don't really have a problem if it's two consenting adults or anything like that, but it seems like the consent is taken away when someone is kind of in a place against their will.
Yeah, it's definitely not fun, and it's definitely not, you know, it's not consensual by any means. It's typically usually like a, like you were saying, some sort of coyote situation where they're doing this to pay back someone who got them into the country, or they're trying to help their family back from wherever country they came from in a really desperate sort of way. So it's, yeah, it's a really messy situation, and there's like there's no more excuses for being a Patriots fan ever. Like, it's just an organization of evil criminals.
And you just know that this fucker didn't tip either.
Yikes. So besides like fucked up handies in places you shouldn't get them, what else has been going on in the meta world? Any good news?
Yeah, I just saw this. Well, I wouldn't say this is good news, but it's funny. I mean, it's fucked up, but it's funny.
fucked up, unfunny, good news.
It sounds right up our alley.
Yeah.
Our friend Stephen Wilson, who we had on the pod a while ago, friend of the pod, Stephen Wilson, not the musician one, the visual artist guy, who recently is doing a little job for a guy now. Who would that guy be?
Is it me? Are you referring to me?
I think it's you.
Wow. I'm so honored. Stephen did some artwork for my band that's going to be coming out this year. So, good guy. Everyone hire him at Unknown Relic. But yeah, someone really liked his work so much that they decided to copy it and sell it off as their own.
Yeah, man. Realized just today, or yesterday rather, this fucker Rot in Pieces Artworks, RIP Artworks on Facebook, if you want to go say howdy. this fucking Polak. He ripped off some original artwork from Stephen Wilson, flipped it in Adobe Illustrator, and released it for a band called Despise Cruelty. Like he did the fucking thing. And this is just the most egregious theft I've seen in going on 4 score, maybe 7 years now. Did you take a look at the side-by-side comparison?
It's the same thing. It's
the exact same thing. There was nothing changed here. He just poorly photoshopped two of them together.
but probably the piece de resistance here is this fucking proof that he made it himself. The Polish artist proceeded. I'm assuming after allegations, or maybe to get ahead of allegations, he has this really incredible gallery of him preparing the artwork. And in the first photo, I mean, I don't know if I could describe this well enough on a microphone. What did you say it was? It was like
the nun that tried to refurbish the Ecce Homo art. Yes. Of Jesus.
Yeah.
He just he poorly with maybe about 4 lines of shitty pencil drew this gorilla with tears coming out of his face as a sign that, yeah, this is the progress I'm working on. Even more egregious than that, a couple of days before, he posted up an always hustling shot of him over his artboard saying, "Sleep is for the weak, work in progress," of him tracing the original artwork.
Like, he clearly printed, like, it's just one picture of, like, this, like, spangly looking crying gorilla that he made, which, by the way, crying, like, the actual original artwork is of some sort of faceless human-esque entity that has a hole for a face, and it's just gushing with some sort of fluid out of the face, and this really fucked up metal sort of picture.
It's gnarly, but, and it's cool, and I love it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's stolen.
Yeah, and the picture that he tries to create as a sketch is just sort of this really gangly full face with like a nose and eyes and a mouth. It's like just a sad face that's crying. That's like his first step in sketching this up. And then the very next progress picture is just clearly a printout of the original that he traced over with marker.
Like, this original here is like much worse than what I would do when I was first starting to draw when I was about 6 years old.
Yeah.
It's something out of one of the Naked Gun movies where like they're asking for a sketch of something and that's what they produce. And it's a funny laugh because it's so bad.
Yeah, exactly. Rot in Pieces, you fucking shit. And this band, Despise Cruelty. I don't know if they're aware. I'm sure by now our cohorts have added them and said, shit, look at this shit. I hope that y'all reconsider releasing anything with this because it has been stolen and it sucks.
Yeah, and this happens to bands all the time. You try to go for the guy with the cheapest, best art to put on an album, and more often than not, they just rip it off from the internet. They trace it a little bit. They do something a little to change it. There's a really great website where somebody highlights a lot of these thefts. I'll have to see if I can find a link for us to share. Maybe not, but it's egregious and it's everywhere. You get like all of these random foreign artists who just trace over something, whatever, and that's your album art, and it looks cool because it's fucking from something, and so bands just go with it, and usually it's too late by the time the album actually gets published.
Yeah, there's not much bands can do unless you're a well-known band or you have the capital to get something new done. For the most part, it's just, this is it, this is your music, you can't change it, you can't get more printed. I guess you gotta sell it even though the artwork is stolen.
What would be the alpha move is if the band got the money refunded to them and then they rerouted that money right back to our friend Steven here. Even no matter how little it is, you know, I think that should be their next move. Try to get your money back from this guy and then take whatever it was and just give it to Steven because he already drew this for someone else. So I don't think there's any way they're going to be able to take the album down as it is now.
You guys gotta understand, like, a lot of folks don't necessarily put a premium on artwork. They think that they can get away with this kind of shit. It's like, you know, the internet's global. We got eyes everywhere. We got shooters everywhere. You can't get away with this kind of thing because somebody will see it and they'll call you out, and then your shit's gonna be forever tainted by like, oh yeah, it's that ripped off shit ass artwork. The alpha move, of course, is to at the last minute just change it to an all black cover with maybe like a small piece of white text saying like shit, what is his name, Rotten Pieces can rot in hell.
Just like a little stick figure on a hill looking sad with an arrow pointing down, Rotten Pieces.
Yeah, just like with like a stink line coming off of him.
Sad face.
Just have one of those like Crush Rotten Pieces shirts, like the Crush Judd or Crush Mirker shirts with a big stupid like cross out of some dumb picture of the guy, and then just print it out and sell it yourself. You make your money back.
Yeah. So yeah, if you want cool artwork, hire a reputed artist. You sent me the artwork that he's got going for your band, and it looks good as hell. Like it's nice. It's real nice.
He does good original work, and people should give him more money.
So do you usually in these situations, and I've always been curious about this, in these sort of situations, do you just kind of say, hey, draw me a cool album cover, or here's my music, listen to the music, get inspired by it, or do you kind of give him something that you want to see on an album cover?
We provided the music and just said, go, do whatever you want. You know, for that's just to give the artist the freedom. You know, we didn't have anything specific in mind, and I think sometimes when you have something specific in mind, it kind of limits what an artist can do. So for his style and what he does, I think it's best to just like just go do whatever you want. And you know, we're very happy with what he's done. I don't think there would be much that we wouldn't want other than like no flaming skulls with daggers in them and marijuana leaves in their eyes or something that looks like a Pantera flag from 1993.
See, that's all I want.
That better be my next album. Yeah, I feel like the alpha move for anybody who creates album art would be to just like create a personal portfolio and then kind of wait out and see who approaches you. And depending on how much money they're willing to pay, just like have a bunch of really sick album art at the ready for whenever anyone approaches you about something. But most of the time they just do original pieces. They just kind of, like you said, listen to the music and draw what they think matches it.
Well, it's interesting you point that out because another band that I have is more in the brutal death metal side of things. we were contacted by more than one person who did artwork wanting to do artwork for the album with like pre-made stuff. Like there's just a space for the logo and they'd be like, here's this artwork. If you want to use it, give us this money and we'll put your logo in. So that does happen.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah.
Unsolicited artwork.
They just have like the word band name above the artwork and just to kind of show you what you would. I've seen it. It's like that. Yeah.
Here's some random brutal thing. You're in a death metal band. Here you go. Give me $100 and you're done.
It's not the Costco of band art.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's good in a way that it's available to people, specifically like younger bands who may not really know how these things work, or even people who can't really afford anything. Like for a quick $50 or $100, you have a t-shirt design all of a sudden. You know, this thing's ready made. It looks how you want it to look. And here you go. Here's my money. We get it and we're done. So in a way it's good. In another way, it's weird to just get hit up by random people saying, here's a thing. Give me money.
Yeah. It's like going into a tattoo parlor and you'll have those instant tattoo shops where they just have like art ready on the wall for you to pick out. And I think that's a good idea at first glance. But next thing you know, you're going to be walking down the street with like the same exact rose as somebody else on your arm.
Someone lifts up the back of their shirt and points to their tribal tattoo that you have.
Yes. So
twinsies
could very well happen in the metal world where you go for one of these I don't want to say cookie cutter, but you know what I mean, like these ready to go stock album covers that are fresh and hot for sale, and someone grabs it and next thing you know it's somehow stays up as something that could be used for a future album and it's just someone else takes it here.
Yeah, we see the styles tend to repeat themselves in specific genres. You'll know a brutal death metal album when you see it because it kind of looks like everything else.
Yeah. Hi, I would like to get like a skull that's kind of rotty and like, I don't know, tentacles everywhere. Just do your magic, man. You can do it.
I want it to look purple and I want a big city in the distance with the monster in the clouds. Have you ever done that before? Yes, that's the number one special with a large soda.
You know, it'd be really fucked up if we like killed a woman on an album cover. Someone draw that.
Just imagining reaching out to Dan Seagrave and saying like, I want album art. Can you have it? I'm like, no. No, I will not do anything custom. I'm going to do the exact same shit that I do on every single album.
Hi, Mr. Seagrave, can we get something like Lisa Frank, but in your style? Thanks.
Love it.
Yeah.
Even with like tattoo artists, the upper echelon of tattoo artists, when they create a piece of flash, like a pre-made art, they'll put it on one person and they won't do it on anybody else.
Oh, is that true? That's a good idea. I didn't think of that.
I got a couple of, like, going to the tattoo convention, what some of these guys will do is they'll create ready-to-go pieces of art to tattoo on a person, and it's one and done. When somebody picks that design, they don't do it again.
Oh, right, so they take it off the wall. See, I'm picturing they just leave it up, and everybody's going in for, like, the same rose all the time, every day, walking around with it. But that makes sense. That's the ethical thing to do.
Well, if you do go to like most any tattoo studio, they do have the Rose of Flash that they'll recreate endlessly. But, you know, if you don't want to be twinsies with somebody, you can, of course, you know, do something with, you know, a higher caliber of artist like that.
Be privy to this stuff. Sometimes a price that's too good to be true probably is. And even though you might end up with something that really looks cool, it probably looks cool because a real artist somewhere else designed it, and then you got this guy who's, you know, not so half bad with Photoshop, and he's able to just manipulate it in a way that, you know, it ends up your album cover.
Yep.
So yeah, even internationally you can't get away with this stuff anymore. It's not how the internet works, you know.
We got eyes everywhere, and yeah, it sucks because this isn't even the first time that this has happened to Steven. When you got good stuff, people want to cop it. Don't do that. Brenna, you sent me something right before we started recording, and it's kind of been turning around in my mind is, I don't know, the perfect way to live life, I think. do you want to describe this a little bit?
The perfect way to live life?
Yeah.
Are you referring to the good boy Ben Weinman from Dillinger Escape Plan, how he's got himself set up with an animal sanctuary.
That's the fella. Think about this. You spend your early years touring the world, creating music that just really rips people's minds to shreds, destroying stages, jumping off of high things, constantly injuring yourself, partying, having a great time. And then you decide going out on a high note, playing the entire world. What do you do from there? How can you possibly recapture those highs? I'll tell you. You have an animal sanctuary that you stick around and feed all the animals and pet them.
Yeah. I'm assuming it must be some sort of farmland. Because I guess what happened is Ben Wyman had purchased a house. They like bought a home. But the previous owners had their animals, like an animal sanctuary set up there. And I guess one of the conditions was that the original owners said, would it be okay if the animals could just stick around for a little bit after the sale? But eventually a bit became the life there. And that's just now what Ben Wyman does. He named it, and this is pretty funny, he named it Party Smasher Sanctuary, which is after his record label, which is, it sounds fine as a record label, but Sanctuary, I don't know, maybe you could have workshopped that a little bit.
Gotta stay on brand.
Right, I guess so. Let's see, what they have listed here is it's currently housing 80 rescue animals and growing. So they have goats, they have sheep, chicken, pigs, horses, turkeys, ducks, and more. I can't even imagine what more is because there's a lot of species of creature, but that's pretty sick. That's pretty cool. It sounds like it's just a big farm with farm animals that aren't up for the slaughter. So you pretty much just get up every day and you feed your animals and clean up after them. And then you don't have to do anything else with them.
Except love wonderful. Them.
Nothing else.
Just love them. I mean, how could you do anything else? How do you have time? There's 80 of the motherfuckers on there. There's not enough time in the day to feed all those bastards.
I mean, it certainly gets a little bit more complicated when you start, you know, learning about veterinary needs and like taking care of all the disgusting ailments that an animal can have and how to resolve them in disgusting and bloody ways. But man, that really does sound like the life to me.
Like, I feel like if you have a big yard and a big property, I think it's charming to be like, oh, you know, I got a goat. I got a cow. They were saved from a dairy farm or whatever. And they're just living their life in my big yard. Like, that's mm-hmm. I get that's charming. I get that's fine. But to acquire 80 animals, it's like an entire farm's worth of just, I don't know, man, maybe put them to work. Fuck them. I don't know. They've been relaxing too long.
What would you have your animals doing for you?
Stealing album art. Yeah. Running my just a cottage industry.
Running my label with a dumb name.
In my neighborhood, there's a lady with a big yard a couple of blocks away that has four goats set up in her huge yard. And it's great. Like, they've got a jungle gym set up for the goats, basically. They're always playing, having a good time. And she put a sign on the outside of the fence, like, showing which colored animal coordinates with which animal name. Like, this one's Mocha, and this one's Oreo.
Well, you got to name that many.
A lot of these sanctuaries and even farms that have a couple of goats actually rent them out to do, like, natural landscaping for places, because goats will eat just about anything.
That is true. I grew up in kind of a rural area. We had a huge, huge lot of land that I was in charge of keeping clean. And every single day, I think, I begged my mom to let me get goats so that they would help out. Apparently,
did you ever find anything while cleaning it?
What do you mean?
You're saying you're cleaning this land. Is just brush there? You ever find some pirate gold or, I don't know, use syringes or anything interesting?
Well, lots like the latter, because my mom got this place when I was like, I don't know, 10 or so, maybe a little bit younger. And she decided that was where she wanted to build her house. And it was on top of what was a landfill. So for many, many years, that was digging up all kinds of shit that was destroying my equipment.
Yeah. Great. Do you think it would destroy the goat's equipment?
Goats can handle pretty much anything. They run pretty primitive software.
Yeah. It's like animal hardware with like lawnmower firmware.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if you guys ever wonder why I'm so fucking salty and weird, that's probably why.
You don't got any goats, man.
That's the next great, Patreon man. Reach goal. At $1,000, get Joe a goat.
That's right. Hell yeah. One goat. Like, you got your own property now, your own yard.
Yeah, I think I could handle a pygmy goat, maybe. I don't know how my dogs would react to the pygmy goat, but maybe they'd get along pretty good.
It's like any animal group that lives under one house. They just eventually work it out.
Yeah.
That's why we have fucking cute videos of like tigers and raccoons hanging out. Because one human being in a room with them was like, no, when they started the fight, and that was it. That's all you need.
Damn it, Cinnamon.
By the way, you can totally take this advice and use it for any sort of pet interactions at your home, because I am a qualified expert.
Just use it for human interactions on Twitter.
Wait. I should just do that on Twitter. Yeah. No. Stop. Neckbeard Death Camp can play wherever they want. So can you. You can share the stage. Stop.
That'd be a fun parody account to set up, like the People Tamer.
Just People the mediator Tamer. For band fights.
Yeah.
Love it.
I think I'm up to task.
Speaking of randos fighting in your Twitter timeline about questions you ask.
Speaking of Twitter. So I don't know. I feel like every week I post something that isn't that big of a deal when I post it, but it always becomes a really big deal and it's mentionable on the show. But I just put up a poll because for some reason I'm stuck at 1630 followers and I couldn't get a single one more. People would just unfollow and I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna do some trash ass engagement. Which worked, but it just works. I guess if you just ask stupid open-ended questions to people, you just get 11 more followers guaranteed. It's the dumbest thing, but I asked which underground metal genre is the worst offender as far as too many mediocre bands. And my two options, 1, 2, that's how high you have to count for this, you idiots, is doom metal or black metal, to which I received no less than 47 comments about other metal genres that I did not include in this poll. People being like, melodic death metal or metalcore. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, every metalcore band ever, regardless of quality, got signed in 2002. All of them. So, yeah, the question was just, which of the two? Black metal eked out at 59%. And doom metal got 41%. So everybody assumes that it's definitely black metal has way more shitty, mediocre bands.
I mean, I'm no stranger to being a critic of Sweet Lady Black Metal, I guess. But in my opinion, this was a travesty of a result, because doom is the clear answer here.
Complete upset.
There's a bunch of really great black metal bands, and there's like two good doom metal bands. Like, the worst thing in the world is I get a promo and it's just the same progression played four times, the same boring ass riff played four times, and I just immediately X out. I'm like, I don't want to hear this shit anymore. That's all doom metal is.
I call it Grand Theft Sabbath. It's just they just make a Black Sabbath cover band and they change the lyrics and they get somehow a worse singer than Ozzy to come out and just be like, and it sucks. Man, and everybody in the comments kind of rationalized their decision. They said, well, I think I would find a mediocre doom band more listenable than a mediocre black metal band, which...
That's not the question.
I know. I completely disagree with that. I mean, doom metal, yeah, it's more... first of all, doom metal is way more popular. And when I say doom metal, I'm kind of lumping in stoner rock, like stoner metal... anything that's kind of like Red Fang adjacent, that's what I'm talking about. And there's way more bands like that, and they get way more stage time around the area because it's just basically kind of fuzzier rock. You can put that on a stage in a bar show and not upset people who are just there to drink beer. Black metal, totally different story. Obviously you can't just put some nerd up on the stage and go for 45 minutes and have everybody in the bar be okay.
Yeah, well, you've seen some doomish rock bands end up on like real festivals, like some of these big like pop music festivals occasionally. Mastodon or Red Fang or something like that will be thrown on somewhere. You're not going to see Terrorism on there anywhere.
Somebody in the comments said, I think black metal is way less obscure. And I'm just like, High on Fire just won a fucking Grammy. What are you talking about? How could that be? I very politely disagreed with him by saying I don't think we're agreeing on. Maybe he's talking about like Sun O or whatever specifically. And yeah, I say the O out loud. Fuck you. You don't know what I'm talking about if I don't say it.
This is the same thing as like the your blood incantation post from a year ago or something where people are like, well, I've heard of them. They're not obscure. It's like, well, of course not. You listen to this stuff.
You think blood incantation is underground? I have three friends and they all know them. Everyone I know knows blood incantation.
My answer to this question is that doom has more mediocrity, but black metal has more bad bands. I don't think mediocrity is necessarily a negative in the same sense as bad. Like, I've sat through a lot of doom metal bands, and it's, for the most part, it's okay. It's not very entertaining or thrilling, but it's not necessarily bad. Like, I can't be in this room anymore.
Yeah.
Whereas in black metal, I think you get a lot more bad bands.
Joe, you were going to say something?
I mean, doom metal is like wallpaper. It's just fucking there. If you want to play music, if you want to play metal music in some form or another, and you're not, you don't have any ideas, and you're not really good at your instrument, doom metal is the way to go. Like, because it's real hard to fuck it up. You're not taking any risks here. You're not changing the game, shifting paradigms. You're just playing the same goddamn riffs as everybody else.
Well, I feel like a huge draw for the doom crowd is the gearhead side of things. I think doom is powered on this lust for vintage, shitty sounding, tube driven, extremely heavy, extremely large music gear, and the tones that those things can achieve. And those guys are just like making bands as an excuse to show off their like thousands and thousands of dollars of a collection of like shitty old 70s gear. Doesn't sound that great.
It's the same thing. If you want to have the trappings of being a musician, you buy a lot of gear. If you want to have the trappings of being a doom metal musician, you just use that expensive gear to play boring ass riffs.
It's just about every tone you can achieve as Matt Pike with his walls and walls of amplifiers. You can do all of that these days on a pedal. One pedal, way under $1,000, one pedal. And you plug it into the PA and it'll do every tone he can possibly achieve exactly the same way, the same volume, totally. And everyone will hate me for saying it, but it's true.
And yeah, what people don't get is Matt Pike is a much better musician than you are. It's not the gear. It's what he does with it.
Yeah, and it's an aesthetic choice more than anything is to have the walls of amplifiers. That's just but unlike most bands that play live, like those are real cabinets and Matt Pike plugs all of them in. So just be ready for that. To kind of wrap this whole thing up in this excellent, excellent tweet I got that brings us back to black metal, brings us back to this mediocrity conversation. And people will complain we don't suggest enough new music on here. Necropanther, really cool, newer band, very reminiscent of Skeleton Witch as far as like a black and thrash band. But I think their guitar licks are a lot more 80s inspired, if I could say that, like a cool kind of glam style of 80s. So I highly suggest them. But the guys from Necropanther wrote me in response to this whole questionnaire I had is they said the black metal ethos and orthodoxy are designed to venerate mediocrity and to make skill and innovation irrelevant. Mediocrity is mainstream for black metal. It's lifestyle music.
Damn.
Yeah,
that's good. I like that
it's
a lot.
Really good. It's like I don't usually get a comment within my Twitter thread of somebody random, and this got 4 retweets and like 14 likes, which just people really agreed with the statement. I couldn't agree with it more. I retweeted it myself.
Well, thank you also for saving me an hour on Monday night when I try to find a cool band to play, because we got music for you on this episode with Necropanther.
Yeah, Necropanther's awesome. I'll try to find a good song for you, but they're great. Please check them out. I found out about these guys because I was just saying, hey, what do you guys think was the best album of 2018? And these guys did like the douchebag move where they're like, just give me a couple minutes of your time and listen to my band. It's the best album of 2018 kind of thing. And so I went to listen to them because I wanted to rip on them for being so assuming. But then I really liked it. And I was like, you know, I was going to rip on you, but this kicks ass. So they kick ass. Check them out.
You got to shoot your shot. And sometimes it takes.
Yeah. That's what's up.
Most of the time it doesn't.
No.
Most,
don't almost shoot every time it doesn't. Yeah.
Please don't do that to us. don't do that. And don't just send us message with just a YouTube link in it with nothing else in it. We will never listen to it.
Yeah.
Well, I think that about does it on this one. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think if you guys send me more dramatic readings, please like give me some kind of suggestion for what the voice should be. That one I'm sure was painful. If you sat through the whole thing, great. But I'm gonna implore that our good buddy Joe here put some kind of timestamp for when you can skip it in the description, because it was like 20 minutes of that voice. I'm gonna be hoarse for my life.
Thank you for filling up all the time on this episode. It means that I didn't have to think.
And you can do Neckbeard Death Camp's response next week.
Perfect.
Yeah, you gotta shout it in all caps.
Will do.
All right, everybody. This has been the Toilet of Hell Radio Show, and we love you.
Keep it metal, bros.
Bye.
Nice.
Listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.